This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sponsored by Jim Duncan Real Estate. Welcome to a new regular feature on the site, Charlottesville Interviews. We hope to bring you weekly talks with people in the news and people just outside the range of local media. Today our guest is David Toscano, who will be sworn in Wednesday morning as a delegate representing the 57th District. Toscano is a lawyer who spent 12 years on the Charlottesville City Council. I began our interview by asking him to tell me how he's preparing to become a legislator.
I've been very busy. I'm reading a lot, and I'm trying to learn as much as I can before I get sworn in on Wednesday.
What kinds of things do you have to do to become a legislator like this? I mean, what kinds of things are you reading?
Everything from the rules of the House of Delegates to all of the various bills that have been introduced. We expect that there'll be over 3,000 bills that'll be introduced in this session. And you try to read as many as you can, especially those that you're most interested in and might be on your committee list.
And speaking of that, of course, have you, when I last talked to you about this, you did not have committee assignments at that time. Have you been given those assignments?
No, actually, and that, of course, one of the challenges, because you don't know what committees you're on, and therefore you're not quite sure how to prepare to do the best job you can right out of the box. We expect to be appointed to committees probably Wednesday or Thursday at the latest, and those committees will begin meeting immediately. So there's going to be a quick turnaround time for us to get ready.
Now, of course, I'm just wondering, do you have any special plans for what you hope to do on the day that you're sworn in? I mean, are there any secret rituals that the rest of us maybe don't know about?
No, what is interesting is that everyone is sworn in at the same time. So all 100 delegates rise before the clerk and are sworn in at the same time. It's a relatively short ceremony. This year, since we're not going to be in the Capitol, there won't be a gallery where we can be watched, but it's all going to be on closed-circuit television. And there'll be family and friends in the building they can watch on closed-circuit TV. We'll have a little reception afterward.
Now, I'm just wondering here, of course, there must be a pretty steep learning curve for a first-time legislator.
Well, I think we're going to have 17 new members. 16 have already been elected. There's a special election in Lynchburg, which will generate a new member, and I think there's going to be one more. So I think we'll probably have 18 new members. That's a pretty substantial turnover if you think about a 100-member assembly.
Well, it seems like it's going to be a whole new house, and so do you know if historically if that's something that happens a lot?
It's happening with more frequency. I think the most recently the large number turnover was, I think, in the year 2000, where there might have been 20-some new members. It used to be that you'd have people continuing from year to year to year, but the demands of the job are so great now, lots of folks decide to move on after several years of serving.
Now, and of course, it's a part-time legislature, so of course you have to continue on with your job. Is that going to be a challenge for the next 2 months?
I think that's going to be one of the more interesting challenges. On the one hand, I have a law practice to maintain, and it's not like I'm going to be able to do a lot of work during the session. Occasionally I'll be able to get to clients, but if there are emergencies, fortunately I've got the backup of my partners, and they'll take clients who have emergencies and address those emergencies, and then I'll resume work when I get back in March.
And given that the idea that the nature of the legislature is changing, I don't know if there's really been a call for it, but do you think that the Virginia legislature will ever move away from a part-time session more to more of a full-time legislature?
Well, I think that's a possibility. If you look down the road 20 years and you think about the size of Virginia, we've added population pretty quickly over the last 20 years. We're over 7.5 million people now, and as it gets bigger and more complex, there's going to be more of a call for a full-time legislature. I think that could be a real tragedy. I mean, one of the things that Virginia is unique for is having a part-time legislature and the notion of a citizen legislature, which I think is closer to the people. Once you start to have full-time arrangements, you get more what they would call professional politicians, and that's the only thing they do, and I think they become farther removed from the people.
Your tenure on the Charlottesville City Council was 12 years, correct?
That is right, 12 years.
That was almost like a full-time job in the sense that you met pretty much throughout the year. Do you see that being a difference?
The rhythms are going to be very different. With the council, you would consider perhaps 10 12 items in a single agenda, single meeting that would occur every 2 weeks here in the legislature, you're likely to get 10 or 12 bills in like half an hour to try to figure out. The pace is going to be very different, and a lot's going to be coming at us very quickly. On council, you could deliberate for months before deciding an issue, and here you might have to make a decision within 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other ways you see legislating in Richmond being different from legislating here in Charlottesville? I mean, obviously the big one is that you're, instead of having four other colleagues, you have 99 other colleagues.
Yeah, that's a huge difference too. And the difference in terms of regional political differences and background differences are quite dramatic. One of the things I've been very impressed about since I got there, and looking at the new members especially, is the talent and the abilities of these folks, really sharp folks who I think have a lot to contribute. And when you've got 100 of them in the room, it's going to be a challenge to find the 51 votes that you need to carry an item forward. The other piece about it, of course, is there are two chambers. You've got the Senate, which has 40 members of its own, and unique feelings of prerogatives on the Senate side. And then you also have the governor there who can veto any legislation that comes out of the General Assembly, modify it, do with it what he wishes before sending it back.
And, of course, it also leads to another question and perhaps another difference between being in Richmond and being here in Charlottesville. This is perhaps the first time in your political career that you'll be in the political minority. Do you think that's going to provide any special challenges?
Definitely. It is true that while I was on the city council, it was all Democratic. And now the Democrats are in the distinct minority. And I'm going to have to find ways to carve out strategic alliances with folks on the Republican side to get things done. You know, I have found, however, that a lot of issues that come before the General Assembly are not strictly partisan, and there is a lot of room to work together. There are certain issues like the social hot-button issues where there's going to be dramatic differences of opinion and ideology. Tax issues will be some of that, too. But there are a lot of places where there can be common ground struck, and I hope to find it.
I see that so far, I checked on the legislative information site. I see that you have three bills of which you're the chief patron. And the issues on these, of course, are the nursing school one, the Virginia retirement system one, and the absentee ballot one. Are these pieces of legislation that are things that you have put forward because they're your projects, or are these ones that other people have suggested that you add to the hopper?
Well, you put forward legislation on the basis of several different criteria. One, there are things that you really want to push yourself, that you have developed the idea and that you want to push it. A second is when a constituent comes up with you, with what you think is a really unique idea that you think is worth exploring and trying to pass. And the third one is ideas that come to you from the city council and the board of supervisors. So let's take a couple of these. The VRS initiative, which is an initiative that's designed to smooth out the contribution rates that localities have to provide to the VRS, the Virginia Retirement System, so that they don't get hit with these budgetary impacts every year that are dramatic. That came from Albemarle County because they're, especially in their school division, they're getting hit with these huge increases in VRS contribution rates. They have to contribute money on behalf of their employees. And so we put in this bill that will hopefully get the VRS to do a better job smoothing out those contribution rates. There's a bill I've got in to change the charter of the city of Charlottesville to help the city council do more in the range of affordable housing. Those two came from the localities. The nursing school initiative really is something that was developed out of the campaign. I pushed hard for the notion that we have to increase the number of nurses in the Commonwealth. We're going to probably be short by 20,000 nurses in the next 10, 15 years, and we need to figure out a way to do something about it. Otherwise, it just won't be a question of people with money having access to nursing. It's people won't have access at all because there aren't enough nurses there. The absentee ballot initiative was something that was brought to me as an idea from a constituent that I thought was worth exploring. I also have a minimum wage bill that's in drafting form. It'll be submitted, and I'll offer that. I think there's a lot of interest in increasing the minimum wage in this area, and there's increasing interest across the state about increasing the minimum wage.
And at this point, of course, it's hard to handicap things before the session's even begun, but what success rate do you think you'll have?
It really is difficult. I mean, some things don't lend themselves to partisan discussions. For example, this nursing piece, it's really a piece that's designed to increase the information that we have and the data we have on the nursing shortage. And you'd like to think that would be able to get through fairly easily. Beyond that, the VRS contribution rate, you would think that would be fairly easy. The minimum wage bill will be extremely controversial, and it's hard to know where that's going to go. There are some Republicans who are willing to offer this bill as well, so it might be that will move forward. One would hope so.
Well, good luck as you pass through those. And a final question for you here. What's it like going to be the new legislator for the 57th District, filling Mitch Vanieri's shoes? Do you see yourself being there as long as he was?
Well, you know, Mitch was there for over 20 years, so, it's hard to know. I haven't been there 20 minutes yet, so we're going to see. But I'll tell you, it's a really an awesome responsibility. I'm very excited at the prospects. I'm going to need a lot of help. I'm already getting a lot of email correspondence and phone calls from folks offering suggestions, and hopefully that will continue to happen, because everything comes at you so fast, and you can't hope to understand everything in all of its nuances. So I'm going to need the help of constituents to keep me on my toes and help me do my job for them.
Delegate-elect Toscano, congratulations and good luck to you in the legislature. And we hope to talk with you soon.
I hope you talk often so that I can keep people informed.
That was David Toscano, a Democrat elected last November to the 57th district seat in the Virginia House of Delegates. He'll be sworn in along with 99 colleagues on Wednesday. This is Charlottesville Interviews on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. We're supported in part by Jim Duncan of Jim Duncan Real Estate. For Jim's insights on the Central Virginia real estate market, visit his blog at realcentralvirginia.com. I'm Sean Tubbs. Thanks for listening.